33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. So how many times have you heard something like, it's like Uber, but for fill in the blank? Ride-hailing service is ubiquitous, not just in our streets, but our cultural conversation, and with more options for transportation. Well, you have to ask yourself, and one should ask oneself, perhaps from time to time, is it time to ditch the personal car? Completely. I mean, there are other options. Well, researchers from the University of Texas at Austin have created a new tool to help people make that call. It's called Ride or Drive, and it calculates the cost of car ownership versus relying on transportation networking companies like, you know, your Lyfts and your Ubers. Dr. Todd Davidson is a research associate at the University of Texas at Austin's Energy Institute, co-creator of the Ride or Drive web tool. Todd, welcome.
Thank you, David.
The very idea of letting go of your car is, I mean, that's a really radical notion in a place that has so romanticized the American vehicle for so long.
You're right. I'm certainly not advocating getting rid of personal car ownership. Personal cars have basically revolutionized the world over the past 100 years, given us incredible mobility and freedom throughout our general days. I guess the question that we have now is there almost a better way or an emerging solution to even improve that further?
I saw that you guys had, and correct me if I'm wrong, had come up with a number where basically this is how much it costs to have, say, an Uber-like vehicle and a driver, right, over a certain amount of time. You can sort of backwards calculate your way into figuring out how much it would cost if you were to, say, buy a car and maintain it and fill it up with gas and so on and so forth versus just having an Uber on demand.
That's right. And so that's the crux of the work is trying to compare the costs between owning a personal car and using transportation services or mobility services, what we always often describe them as. So the question that we were really trying to get at is that there are a lot of obvious costs mm-hmm. associated with car ownership. Say you go to the lot, you see the sticker price, you purchase the car, you're paying loan payments. But there are other non-obvious costs. So say the registration, the cost of fuel, the maintenance, and then there's costs that are even more sort of non-obvious, which is critically, maybe the most important one, is the value of your time. All of us, in driving our personal cars, we're basically making a commitment that we're going to sit behind the wheel for a certain amount of time,
right? Sure.
And so your time and the question, the really subjective question, and this is part of the reason why we built the calculator to make it available online for people to address their own personal situation, uh-huh. is what is the value of an individual's time? If you are, say, able to get work done while you are riding in a car with the use of mobility services, then that time could be incredibly valuable to you. You might be able to answer emails. You might be able to get other work done. You might be able to even read a book or arguably take a nap, which to somebody who's really busy
might
be incredibly valuable.
Right.
But in another situation, if you have to be on site to get your work done, it might not be as of value or as of much value compared to another individual.
Boy, that's, but you know, you think about the, I don't mean to go too far out of the field here, but if you think about what that means that wealthier people, those who make more money, really stand to gain more by ditching the automobile. That's what you're really talking about. So you're talking about another set of haves and have-nots in a way.
So there is that dynamic, and you do see that dynamic play out in, say, New York City to a certain extent, where you might have people that have private drivers. I would say maybe the more interesting aspect of this is as the services evolve, and particularly if automated vehicles are adopted into mobility services, say you have Uber or Lyft or other companies offering these services that with automated vehicles, mm-hmm. the prices could collapse dramatically.
With automated vehicles.
Automated vehicles.
Right. We're not talking about the driver anymore.
That's right.
Autonomous vehicles, though, they still seem like science fiction.
I think that's fair. It will likely take multiple generations of cars, if you will, and the average car is owned for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. It might take multiple generations of cars to have a significant penetration of automated vehicles on the road. So we're still talking pretty far out in terms of automated vehicles. More near term, I would say that the opportunity for mobility services is still present. But I think there's society-wide, there's a lot of really interesting and beneficial aspects of mobility services, which might be increasing mobility for the elderly or individuals who don't yet have a driver's license. So the youth, you could have new market segments pop up that allow our entire economy to become more efficient through different transportation uses. So we are excited about the work. I think going forward, our goal is to not just understand the economics of this transportation behavior, but then to take that information and to understand sort of the cascading impacts on energy consumption. How might mobility services change the way we consume energy throughout the economy?
It's definitely worth checking out, and we would encourage you to do it. Once again, the website address is?
RideOrDrive.org.
RideOrDrive.org. Dr. Todd Davidson, a research associate at the University of Texas at Austin's Energy Institute. He is co-creator of the Ride or Drive web tool. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for your time.